Morning, everyone. 3 days from now, we'll be gathering with some family to enjoy Thanksgiving. I'm sure you guys have plans as well. 3 days from now. After 3 days. All right. I'm getting corrected. I'll get talked to afterward. Either way, 4 days from now, we'll be gathering with family to get together and enjoy a time of Thanksgiving. And I'm sure some of you, for the guys in the room that are sports fans, the Lions, Detroit, always plays on Thanksgiving Day. We'll enjoy a little football, enjoy a little shopping afterward maybe for those of us that are techies. No, sorry, techies are Monday. Black Friday shopping, right? So anybody camping out this weekend to go get a tablet or something? No? Lindsay, no? Tools maybe? How about Sears? Yeah. After that is, I think Black Friday is considered the biggest shopping day of the year. And then close behind it is Cyber Monday for all the techies. That's when we'll be getting our tablets, right, Lindsay? All right. So this holiday season, Thanksgiving, a lot of times we get caught up in a lot of things, and some of them good. Spending time with family and talking and getting together with friends, there's some really good time of fellowship we can have and some times that we can strengthen one another. Enjoy one another in the Lord and have some time of fellowship. Those are good things. Sometimes we get a little caught up in the capitalistic way of thinking and spending our money and worry about buying things and getting things for Christmas when we just barely haven't even gotten done with our turkey yet. But this morning I wanted to let's go to the book of Psalm, the book of the Psalms, chapter 92. Psalm 92, and for the believer, for those of us that know and love the Lord, there is always something that we have in the Lord Jesus to be thankful for. And there is always someone, which the unbeliever cannot say, there's always somebody to be thankful to. Always. And so verse 1 of Psalm chapter 92, let me read, start here, and we'll read the first, I'll just read the chapter, and then we'll come back to the first verse. Verse 1. It says, it is a good thing, and some of you may have, it is good to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is they that shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. And all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and that there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's go to the Lord before we spend some time studying it. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for your word, and we are reminded again, dear Lord, that your mercies are renewed every morning. And Lord, we know, and from thy word, and we've heard here, that it is a good thing to praise thee. So, dear Father, we pray that you would help us once again, daily, to be thankful to the Lord Jesus for what he's done for us in our lives. Lord, we're thankful for him who has loved us. And dear Lord, we pray that through the opening of your word, that your spirit would teach us. Dear Father, we pray that you'd give us hearts that would be receptive and able to be washed by your word. Lord, so that you'd help us to be more like thy son. We pray all these things in thy son's precious most holy name. Amen. Before last Friday, or it's not before last Friday, it was interesting. I had been thinking upon this chapter for the last 3 weeks roughly, and last Friday I was preparing about 5 o'clock to come home, leaving the office. Oh, great, here's the weekend. It was a little bit of a tough week, a long week. And so I figured I'd call home and I'd say, hey, you know, what are we doing this weekend? We don't have any plans Friday night. Let's get some Chick-fil-A. I'll pick up Chick-fil-A for the kids, bring them home, and we'll have a good time. We'll enjoy Friday, starting the weekend, and be together and have a good time. So Friday, I called home, and yeah, let's pick up some Chick-fil-A, and I'm driving. I stopped by Chick-fil-A down here on Bears Avenue, and so I decided, oh, I'm going to call Rachel at the house and say, hey, I'm just about home. Get the kids ready. Let's have a good time. I call home, and first I don't get through. And then I was like, I wonder what happened. I'm 2 minutes from the house. Finally, I get through, and I hear screaming in the background. I'm like, oh, no. She's like, you need to come home. We're going to the emergency room. And I said, what? I hung up the phone. A couple minutes. I'm moving a little faster than I should be down Whitaker Road, trying to get to the house. I get to the house. First thing we need to do is jump in the car, get Levi to the hospital. He needs stitches. And so we go there. We're in the ER, and, of course, you know how events are in the ER. It's not exactly emergency room. Emergency, you know. No. We sit there, wait for an hour. And he's bleeding. Other people are walking in, and some of them looking worse than our case. But finally we get back, and we're sitting back there, and it's about 9 o'clock. And Rachel turns to me, hey, what are you speaking on this week? Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And I wasn't feeling very thankful at the moment, but, you know, made me think a little bit. And it ties a little bit to what I had to share with you today. Psalm 92, verse 1, it says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So why does it call it a good thing? There's many things in the Word of God that are called good. Some of them specifically creation, Genesis chapter 1, right? And the Lord created, and he saw, and he said it was good. Psalm 34:10, let's go to that. Psalm 34:10, what else is called good? It is a good thing to give thanks. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The reward of those that seek the Lord is a good thing. It seems like there's a decline in a lot of good things in our lives today, isn't there? A lot of things polluted. Things that were considered holy and special, they're no longer quite what they were. Think of the holidays overshadowed by shopping, overshadowed by many things that shouldn't really. And unfortunately, a lot of good things aren't quite as good as we would think as they once had been. The Word of God says that there are things that are good. The reward of those that seek the Lord. How about the reward of the righteous? Psalm 84:11. I'll just read that real quick. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The reward of the righteous, it's good. Psalm 47, verse 1 talks about it is good to sing praises unto the Lord. And we sang that, we did that this morning. Now, we could recount the many blessings. We sang that song, 10,000 blessings. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through 10,000 blessings this morning, just a few. But it is a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. We'll come back to that verse a little bit later. One other thing, gentlemen, a virtuous wife, that's a good thing as well. I'm not hearing a lot of amens there. The ladies, they'll talk to you later. A virtuous wife, and that's in Proverbs 18:22. The Bible talks that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Proverbs 18:22. The new covenant's also spoken of as being good, Hebrews 10:1. As for time, we'll keep moving. When the psalmist says it's good, what does good mean? What does he mean by saying good? Let's go back to 147, verse 1. Psalm 147 and verse 1. I think there's two aspects to good that we can apply to this, to saying that it's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 147, verses 1 and 2, or sorry, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our Lord. Then he says, it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's beautiful. It's becoming. It's attractive. Publix is really good at marketing. I mean, my kids actually love to go to Publix. I knew when I was growing up, I hated to go shopping. Shopping and going to buy clothes, going to Sears, going to Montgomery Ward, they had to drag me there. But my kids love going to Publix. And why do they love going to Publix? When you go to the bakery aisle, first thing they get, cookie. You get a free cookie. And so just like children, I think we're a little bit similar, because when they get their cookie from the baker, son, what do you say? What do you say? Thank you, thank you. You have to teach them to say thank you, right? And one of the reasons we teach our children to say thank you is because it's becoming of a Christian. It's the right thing to do. It's a beautiful thing when you see a child or you see a person show gratitude. And so then they go through the checkout aisle and they're getting their sticker. Son, what do you say? Thank you. And they're learning. So being thankful is definitely a trait that we have to teach our children, right? Something you have to learn. It's a learned trait. We would think of both Moses and Joshua, great leaders in Israel. They spent time teaching the children of Israel how to teach the next generation, how to teach their children. Remember, I think it was Moses, when the Passover was instituted, he said, when your children see you do this, this is an opportunity to explain to them how they were delivered out of Egypt and brought through the Red Sea. This is the Lord's Passover. And Joshua, as he enters the Promised Land on several occasions, he would set up stone memorials so that when a father and son were out, he said, when they see this, they're going to ask you something. And so Joshua set up an institution so that the parents would teach the children appropriately, teach them the ways of the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do as well. We're supposed to teach our children to be thankful. And I think in the same vein, we need to be taught to be thankful as well. And the Word does that. So another aspect about being a good thing, why thankfulness is a good thing, it's fitting, it's suitable and appropriate. So two aspects of good. One, it's almost as it were a deportment, the way we should be. A thankful heart is a beautiful thing. And then secondly, it's appropriate, it's fitting, it's suitable. The Lord deserves our praise and our thanks. Are we thankful regarding our circumstances? That's what I was thinking when we were in the ER at 9 o'clock Friday night, the beginning of my weekend. Are you kidding me? You know, this is the beginning of my weekend, you know? And so right then and there, I wasn't feeling very thankful. Are we thankful no matter what? Perhaps you've lost your job recently as the economy has continued to struggle, or you may have lost your health or a loved one. Circumstances can be very difficult. But even then, we all have much to be thankful for. And let's look at a story of a man who I think you all know. The next footsteps in the corridor, he knew, might be those of the guards coming to take them away to his execution. He only had a bed. His only bed was a hard, cold stone floor in the dank, cramped prison cell. Not an hour passed when he was free from the constant irritation of the chains and pain in the iron manacles cutting into his wrists and legs. Separated from friends, unjustly accused, brutally treated, if ever a person had a right to complain, it was this man, languishing, almost forgotten in a harsh Roman prison. But instead of all complaints, his lips rang with the words of praise and thanksgiving. The man was named Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving, that even in the midst of great adversity, when imprisoned in Rome, Paul would write, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. As I said at the beginning, for the believer, there's always something to be grateful for and someone to be grateful to. Are we thankful regardless of our circumstances? giving thanks is a good thing. And there's some practical reasons why it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks is good for our own well-being. Even secular writers, secular teachers, secular scientists would write about this. And this is something that an article that I had read. Scientific proof that being thankful improves your health. During Thanksgiving week, people around the United States express gratitude for the bounty of their lives, but not many realize that in doing so, they are improving the quality of their health and increasing their life expectancies. Now, maybe not if you got three servings of mashed potatoes and butter on top of it and all that. But the point is, the scientific evidence is conclusive when it comes to mood, outlook, and health. Happy people live 10 years longer than unhappy people, and optimists have a 77% lower risk of heart disease than pessimists. What if there were a solution to stress so simple that involved nothing more than feeling thankful for the good things in your life? In fact, there is. The solution is called gratitude. Now, you can read this, but you got to keep it in mind that these are secular writers here. Just thinking about being thankful. The believer has, like Ephesians 1 chapter says, has every spiritual blessing given to us. I think we're a much better state than just the unbelievers. So studies have shown that people who regularly practice feeling thankful have a leg up when it comes to their health. Researchers suggest that grateful people may be more likely to take better care of themselves physically and mentally, engage in more protective health behaviors and maintenance, get more regular exercise, eat a healthier diet, have improved mental alertness, schedule regular physical examinations with their doctor, cope better with stress, feel happier and more optimistic, avoid problematic physical symptoms, have stronger immune systems, and maintain a brighter view of the future. So the writer of Psalm 92, when he says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, I think there's some very tangible physical benefits to being thankful to the Lord. Second, we talked about how it's appropriate behavior for a Christian. It's becoming to be thankful to the Lord. It's becoming. It's appropriate. And so let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 talks about the minority who were thankful. Familiar passage. And I think the admonition here is that it shouldn't be so in our life. We should be like the one. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as the Lord went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when they saw him, he said unto them, Go show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. See this passage that of 10 healed, only one returned. Unfortunately, it seems like the minority are the ones who are thankful. And that can be true for us in our lives. Each evening, I sit with the children and we get together and we read a story out of the Word of God and we pray together. And many times, it's very easy to get trite and repetitive and stuck in a rut when it comes to our prayers, isn't it? And one of the things we pray for each evening is safety, that we can wake up in the morning and enjoy a good night's sleep. And many times in the morning at about 5:30, I'm not feeling very thankful for the past night's sleep when I have to get up. Oh, it's like, I don't want to get to work. I've got to go to work. I'm not thankful for my job about 5:30 in the morning. Not thankful for about the way I feel about 5:30 in the morning. Maybe I can call in sick today. Not thankful for my health about 5:30 in the morning. Many things we skip over. Probably 90%, like lepers. There's many people around the world today that don't have that. They can't go to sleep knowing that they're safe in their own beds. So, something that the leper did here, he came back and gave the God the glory. And in doing so, in him expressing his thankfulness to the Lord, what happened? He was blessed. He received a blessing as a result of it. And so it's becoming for a Christian, it's an opportunity for a blessing as well, to be thankful to the Lord. And like that, with Thanksgiving Day looming, we bought a 20-pound turkey the other day at Sam's Club. The freezer's full of them. And there's many children around the world today that don't have that meal. So we need to be mindful to be thankful when it comes to Thanksgiving. And as a result, like I mentioned, verse 19, the Lord turned to that one leper and he said, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." He received a blessing from it as well. Another thing about giving thanks and it's being a good thing, one practical reason, it results in a joyful spirit. It results in a thankful spirit that results in a joy in a believer's life. And also, it gives the Lord recognition he deserves. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. In Romans chapter 1, we typically look at passages well known for talking about how man is ungodly and has turned away from the Lord. But one of the things that is mentioned as being the deficiencies of man and how we've fallen short is that they lacked being thankful. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And get what verse 21 says. "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful." An unthankful, an ungracious heart, a heart that lacks thankfulness is one that's, it represents those who are unregenerate. That's after that he talks about, "But because they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened." It says that one of the signs of apostasy was that they were unthankful. Unthankfulness. Things we as believers can be thankful for. We do, as the hymn says, as we sung, there's 10,000 reasons that we could give to be thankful for. And in the book of the Psalms, in another psalm, it speaks about, the psalmist says that, "Lord, if I were to try to recount your many blessings toward me, I would be unable to number them." And we have many things to be thankful for. So some of the physical things we can be thankful for, even our material blessings. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. David is recounted to the children of Israel. I think he's getting ready to pass on the kingship to his son Solomon. And in 1 Chronicles 29, David says this, and he recognizes, I'm sure David being the king of Israel, and Solomon who would become one of the richest kings of Israel. Verse 10, David ascribes to the Lord and praises him for the way in which he's blessed them. 29 and verse 12, David says, "Both riches and honor come from thee. You reign over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy name. Riches and honors come from thee." And then he would go on to say, he talks about all things come from the Lord. He says, "But who am I, what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and all things are thine own, and we have given thee." So everything that David had to turn back to the Lord was because he recognized that it was given to him first by the Lord, and he was thankful for that. So we can thank the Lord for our material blessings. Everything that we have, like David did, is because of the goodness of the Lord. We can be thankful for other people in our life. Paul had an attitude of thanking his fellow believers and being thankful for them. 1 Corinthians 1:4. Let's read that verse. Paul says in verse 4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus." Paul was thankful. He wanted to give thanks on the believers' behalf, and he was also thankful to them. We know that there were various believers in Paul's time that sent gifts to him and ministered unto him, and Paul was thankful for that, and he wanted to recognize that. I think our brother Mark mentioned this one. Sometimes it's difficult, and I use that in my example up front. Sometimes it's difficult to give the Lord thanks in times of either trial or persecution. Look at the example of Daniel, though. You know Daniel's place. Daniel, captive from Israel, he would be given under the charge of King Darius, a high place in the Babylonian kingdom. And as he would rise, there would be other people that would, some of the other governors were jealous of his position. And they would plot against him. And they would seek, in chapter 6, in the first parts of it, they'd seek an occasion to catch him in his faith. And verse number 10 in chapter 6, even though Daniel knew that giving the Lord thanks meant that he could be killed, he still said, you see in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, a law had been written so that no one could worship anybody but the king, he went to his house and opened his windows, being in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before." So one part, and I didn't, reading that before, I didn't really catch one of the things that Daniel did. It was giving thanks. That was part of his 3-time-a-daily practice, that he would give thanks. He would give thanks even though he knew it would mean persecution, and even though he would do it in trial. So, like I mentioned, Friday night, you know, what's there to be thankful for at 9 o'clock in the ER, you know? There's much to be thankful for. We can be thankful for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is something we can always be thankful for. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Very short verse. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can always be thankful to him. We should always be thankful to him. And that's one of the values of coming together on a regular basis and thanking the Lord and having the opportunity to express our appreciation for what he's done for us and for the Lord Jesus. A thankful heart, it's a beautiful thing. It's a fitting thing. It's the right thing. It's the thing that a believer should be and should do. And lastly, a practical thing that we as believers can be thankful for is the Holy Spirit in our life. Let's go back to Psalm 92. So we start in verse 1. It's a good thing. It's a pleasant thing. It's the right thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, who is the Most High. And then verse 2 says this: "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." For believers, Thanksgiving is not a once-a-year celebration. Now, Thanksgiving it helps draw to our memory and it helps draw things out to the front, but we find in the Word of God, the one who did right, the one who was praised, the one who received blessing was the one leper who turned around and thanked the Lord. And it's an attitude that stems from recognizing what we've been given. That's the, when I told you it's about being a taught trait in our children and teaching them to be thankful. The attitude that comes from it, we should recognize what we've been given. And that's the type of attitude that should stem from it. That's the type of attitude that research has shown that it's a physical blessing to people just to have that attitude of praise. It should be a daily practice. And we saw that from Daniel. That's what Daniel did. 3 times a day, he was praying. He was thanking the Lord. Verse 2 kind of brought out to me how and when we should give thanks. The first one is it's a good thing and that we should give thanks to the Lord. Number 2 is how and when we should give thanks. And like I mentioned, it's a daily practice. How about this statement? What if we woke up today with only the things that we thanked the Lord for yesterday? Probably no car, no transportation. I wasn't very thankful for my job about 5:30 in the morning. What do we thank the Lord for? Some of the things that are running through your head is probably like me. It's 5:30 in the morning. It's 5:30 already? You've got to be kidding me. About that time, I'm not exactly thankful for my job. How about my knees? They're killing me. My health. I'm not thankful for my health many times. An attitude of thankfulness starts early. You see that there in verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. And then he has, as it were, the end cap of it, the bookend, thy faithfulness every night. So I think it's a daily attitude. It's something that we should recognize daily and throughout the day. Perhaps we're not recognizing or thanking the Lord for his answer to prayer. Sometimes that's the case as well. And we don't realize, and we skip over, we gloss over the fact that the Lord has answered many of our prayers and he's been faithful. Like I mentioned, the time when we sit down and pray with our children each night, I think it's appropriate the next night to come back and look and say, you know, look how the Lord's blessed us and has granted and he's answered our prayers. And that's just turning back to the Lord and giving him the thanks that he is due. Like I said, for the believer, there is always something to be thankful for and someone to be thankful to. This I thought it was interesting. It isn't what you have in your pocket that makes you thankful, but it's what you have in your heart. It's not our physical things that make us thankful, even though that can lend to our thankfulness, but what is most important is the Lord Jesus in our heart. And so I'd urge you, perhaps you're here today that you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Perhaps you haven't had that moment where you've come to him and recognized that he died for your sins and that you haven't given him the praise and the thanks for what he's done for you on your behalf. And he has that gift of life. For those of us that are believers, we can turn around like the leper, come back to the Lord and thank him for not only for healing us spiritually and giving us spirits that can have communion with him. When I was mentioning that story about Levi and his little accident, the boys had been playing and romping around as boys do in our upstairs, and I don't know what they were doing, but somehow Levi wound up with his face into the bed frame. There's a metal bed frame along the bottom of a bed, and he had cut his nose really bad. He's going to need some stitches. Doctor came in. Yeah, you're going to need stitches. It looks like you need it. Wasn't feeling very thankful at that moment either. But Saturday, when I was putting together a few slides, I could see sitting there, it's up in the same room and the bed is on the far side of the room, there was still a little bit of dried blood on the box spring. And I could tell exactly where he had hit his face on the bed frame. And I went down there and looked at it and I was like, whoa, I do have something to be thankful for. 2 inches over was the very edge of the bed frame. And he would have sliced his face open pretty bad. So I had a moment to thank the Lord. It could have been worse. And so, you know, afterward, hindsight's 20/20, right? And you can look back and say, and it wasn't so easy in the trial at the moment to be thankful. But looking back and seeing, well, the Lord really preserved him in that case. The edge of the bed frame could have caught him and could have been in the ER and would have been a lot worse situation. And so sometimes a little time gives us perspective. So perhaps that would be my encouragement to you. Spend a little time thinking and keeping the right perspective on things helps us to be thankful. We always have someone to be thankful. We always have things to be thankful for. We have the Lord Jesus, what he's done for us in our lives. As it says in the book of Ephesians, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And we always have somebody to be thankful to. When we have a relative who has cancer and they're miraculously healed, who do we have to give thanks to? You know, the unbeliever doesn't. Whether it's circumstance or luck or whatever they want to chalk it up to, really we can turn around and understand that the Lord, he's in control, and we have someone to be thankful to. Let's close in a word of prayer.